We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Barry Cryer, and Tim Rice in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we have two of our regular panelists, the effervescently erudite Kenneth Williams, the worldly witty Peter Jones, and we have two guests this week. We welcome back two who played with great success before, those who've had tremendous success with the written word and have proved they have equal success with the spoken word on Just a Minute, and that is Tim Rice and Barry Cryer. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And let us begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, the subject is looking to the future. That's what Ian Mester's come up with to start the show. Can you go on the subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
Looking to the future is really what optimism is based on, since we most of us think that now is pretty lousy and it can only get better, unless, like John Lars' father, you feel the light of the end of the tunnel is going to be an oncoming train. The thing about looking to the future often takes the form of insurance policies. People do that a lot because they think the future may need providing for. I myself had my legs done. And the underwriter said, why are you worried? And I said, well, alas, I said...
Tim Rice has challenged you.
Well, he's not looking to the future. This rather, frankly, tasteless story is almost entirely set in the past. I mean, it's I had my legs done.
If you've ever seen Kenneth Williams' legs and having a look at those, would be looking to the future.
Legs like he's... Kenneth's are few and far between, you know.
Yes, I know. Taking care of the pins is great, showing great foresight. So, Tim, as I disagree with the challenge, Kenneth keeps the subject, gains a point for a wrong challenge, and continues with 22 seconds left, starting now.
May people look to the future.
Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, you did mention people before, Kenneth. So, Jones has a correct challenge. And 20 seconds on looking to the future, starting now.
This is something which people claim can be done through the medium of a glass ball or crystal, and also the palm. Reading it can give you an idea, sometimes, of what is going to happen to you in the future. If you visualize time as being an oncoming train, which in...
Williams has challenged.
Well, he seemed to be funny there.
I know. Hesitating,
yes, I was.
He actually, what we call, corpsed his own joke.
Yes,
he
wasn't
a joke.
In fact, he laughed louder than the audience. Taking over Kenneth's material and dried up. And Kenneth, you've got him with 1 second to go.
Oh.
You're doing a Freud on us. And looking to the future is the subject. 1 second starting now.
Madam Most Hiress, we tell you all, cross my palm with you.
Ian Messiter blows his whistle. It tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gets an extra point. And it was, of course, Kenneth Williams, who has a commanding lead at the end of the round, and Peter Jones takes the next round. Peter, the subject, rhinoceros. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Well, it is the title of a play by Ionescu, one of the absurdist playwrights. It was produced in London. I forget the exact date, but I know Laurence Olivier played in it, and it concerned a kind of stampede of these animals. In fact, I think all the characters in the piece became rhinoceri, if that's the correct plural, I'm sure.
Barry Cryer, challenge.
Rhinoceros is the correct plural, I think.
Well, I think that's a matter of sort of being semantic or pedantic or whatever you like.
Well, Ian's nodding his head.
Is it correct?
Rhinoceroses, yes.
I mean, you cannot use the Latin rhinoceri.
No.
Oh, well, Barry, you are right.
But what was he challenging on?
Deviation. Grammar. Don't pronounce it right. You're deviating from the truth.
Thank you, Kenneth.
Wait, I thought the chairman, if he'd known anything at all, would have known that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
You know, you wouldn't think he'd need a bloke at his side pointing out the dictionary to him, would you?
I still think it's quite legitimate to say rhinoceri, but anyway, it is incorrect because I have the next best equivalent to a English Oxford dictionary sitting beside me, which is Ian Meston. He tells me that, Barry, you are correct. You have a point. You have 37 seconds. Rhinoceros, starting now.
The play by Eugene Ionesco, plural Ionesque, I saw in a...
Tim Rice's challenge.
Definite hesitation. And if there wasn't, then equally appalling plural.
Well, which are you going to go for?
I'll go for the plural, because if Barry can get one, then...
Yes, you're quite right. I wouldn't have given the hesitation. But I must give the plural, because Barry had one on the plural, too. Tim, you have the subject of rhinoceros. 30 seconds, starting now.
I would like to eschew the greedy, rather tasteless chase for points and make a serious point about rhinoceros, plural rhinoceroses, because I...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of plural.
I never said plural.
But actually, Tim didn't use the word plural before. It was Barry who used the word plural.
But he used it as well.
No, he didn't.
He just used it.
Yes, but I didn't use it.
But he hadn't
myself.
Used it before.
Yeah, he did. He said something about plural.
No, he didn't.
No.
Oh, really?
The first time he said plural. Barry said plural before. Mm. You used the word plural.
Why did everybody laugh?
Because you're a very witty fellow.
No, because I'm a very witty fellow.
Nothing witty.
Oh, I'm certainly sure you're a very witty fellow.
It's very easy to make me feel insecure, you know.
I assure you.
Laughing, I don't know what it is.
Tim. You want to be like me, Peter? Not why, just get up and take a nod. 21 seconds, Tim, for you. Rhinoceros, starting now.
The trouble is that a lot of rather ill-educated people in foreign parts believe that a rhinoceros's horn can make you horny or randy or more attractive to the opposite sex. And having made yourself...
Barry Crowe has challenged.
Repetition of or.
Of what?
Or.
Use the word or.
Oh, give over.
Yeah.
In that particular consensus, you may well say you're using the word or... But you did actually... I mean, the thing is, I had this difficult job. A lot of
For God's sake. I
hope
job.
They're going to overlook the small words.
Here,
they challenge, and it's correct. I must give it to him. So, Barry, 10
you
seconds
it,
on
Brian.
Rhinoceros, starting now.
Tim Rice is correct. Rhinoceros horn has the effect of making you amorous, but also gives you a strange desire to charge Land Rovers. So, one must eschew the...
I'm delighted you got in, Barry, if only to hear that last remark. Well done. You were speaking as the whistle went. You gained an extra point, and you're now equal in the lead with Kenneth Williams and Barry Crowe. Would you take the next round? The subject, fairgrounds. Just a minute, and we have to talk on the subject, starting now.
Fairgrounds, the very word redolent with happy memories of roller penny, helter skelter, ferris wheel, the...
Tim Rice.
Repetition of the...
You've got you for all, yeah. That's right.
Right.
I don't blame you.
Now let's have a sort of monitoring on the alls and thes, shall we? And Tim, correct challenge, shall I give it to you? 49 seconds, fairgrounds, starting now.
I have fairgrounds for complaint, I think, when I play this program, because I have not been treated with quite the respect that a young, up-and-coming, many-a-slip person deserves. And this has been illustrated time and occasion again by the players such as Mr. Jones over there, who had a vicious go at me very early on when I'd hardly got settled down. My nerves were still very, very fraught. Kenneth Williams, here on my right, talented performer though he is, and long may he continue to entertain us in his... dotage. He has also been fairly unkind to me. And Mr. Crier, this man who can have a go at an innocent little fellow like me for saying or more than once. I ask you...
Barry Crier.
How many eyes have we had?
It wasn't that. I mean, when are we going to get to the fairground? That's what I was wondering.
Oh, that's it. That's what I meant. Yes, that's what I meant.
I'm surprised nobody picked it up before.
Well, I was arguing about the fairgrounds, which I've not had. I mean, what I'm saying is I've had fair grounds for complaint.
He was, to be fair, using it in a different sense. Yes.
But yeah, who was this up-and-coming young person that you were talking about?
Well, I'm afraid, compared with everybody else on this panel, it has to be me. I admit, in most companies, I'm the clapped-out old wreck, but...
Here, you are up and coming.
He's right.
Here, you're a clapped-out young wreck.
That's why I come on this programme.
You keep the subject because you were, if you were fair, you were talking about Fair's Round. That's absolutely right.
But as you're so up and coming, can I point out to you, Tim, that you're actually on just a minute at the moment and you have 9 seconds to continue on Fair Ground starting now. Yes.
I recall the Everly Brothers recording a wonderful song back in 1961 called The Ferris Wheel. And in this tune, they recalled the sadness they felt.
Peter Jones.
Recall. Hesitation.
Yes, I will give you on hesitation, but I thought you were going to have him for recall, which you used twice.
Did he? Double fault.
Yeah, but there's 1 second, Peter, with you. Fairground starting now.
Luna Park, one of the best fairgrounds.
So it's a very close contest. Kenneth Williams are just in the lead, one ahead of Peter Jones and Barry Cryer. Tim Wright, one behind them, and Kenneth Williams begins the next round. The subject, Kenneth, Athens. Will you tell us something about that lovely city in the game, starting now?
It was my intention to go from the Plaka area down to look at the Agora when I called in the hotel because I left sunglasses, and this woman said behind the desk, Boaty Boatridge is here to see you. I thought, well, nobody knows I'm in Greece. And I went through, and she said, I'm casting this film. We would have liked you, but we need a name. And so we're getting Peter Sellers. And I thought, well, hang on. If you're going to sit here and insult me, you know, I can do it in better places than this, frankly. Lion's Corner House. Anyway, I then made my way to the Arch of Hadrian. Now, that isn't in Athens, so you'll be thinking to yourself, how on earth did he get there?
Barry Cryer has challenged.
I've lost the will to live.
What is your challenge?
No. Sorry, Kenneth. No, it was just an observation. I thought I'd
just
share
an observation. Well, let's give Barry a bonus point for an amusing observation.
There isn't long left to me.
No, there are 8 seconds on Athens still with you, Kenneth, starting now.
The most beautiful thing in that city has to be the Athene Nike statue. Of course, its reconstruction as far as the ancient and old replica, which was gold and stood 19 foot high.
Once again, Kenneth Williams was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Peter Jones, will you take the next round? The subject, hobgoblins. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I think they're little people who sort of make everything go wrong for you. I'm often dogged by these creatures. I remember being in a hotel room.
Kenneth Williams.
Two creatures. They're little creatures.
Yes, that's
right.
And they dog them by little creatures.
Yes. They were
really?
All creatures.
Yes, yes.
They took you by surprise. Amazing.
What took me by surprise was Kenneth being so sharp so early in the round, actually. So, Kenneth, there are 50 seconds on hobgoblins starting now.
Now, I happen to know someone who is very active in this field, and she says, every morning I put down a wee saucer of milk for the hobgoblins, and on a dark night on the moor, she said, oh, Dr. Finley, I can see your wee hobgoblins coming around the day. Place, and if you give them some beverage, they'll no doubt provide you with sustenance for years to come. And I think to myself, what a delightful mass of folklore does
Tim Rice does.
Definite hesitation.
I definitely agree. And there are 6.5 seconds on hobgoblins with you, Tim, starting now.
What I know about hobgoblins would take an awful long time to tell you. So let me just try and compress my vast knowledge into 6...
Tim, well done. You got that extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and you begin the next round. The subject is slapstick. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Of all the entertainments, of all the variations of humour, I find slapstick just about the most boring. I see nothing funny whatsoever in a bloke walking into a custard pie or a trapdoor opening under his feet, plummeting him to his...
Barry Crouch.
That's a deviation from accuracy. People don't walk into custard pies, do they? Surely, the very
worst. Well, yes, yes, they can walk into them if
quite,
they wish.
Quite possible.
It's quite possible.
Well, it's quite possible.
It's,
yes,
it's quite possible.
I
yes.
mean, a it comedian even... desperate for laugh will walk into anything.
Exactly, and if you're so bad at throwing custard pies, maybe you have to get the other artist to walk into it rather than actually hurl it.
Yes, this I've is... actually seen that on television.
Yeah.
I saw Frank Thornton in an episode of that one about the store where someone threw this huge pie at him and it actually didn't quite... missed him slightly, and he had to apply it to his face.
Well done, Peter. Tim, I disagree with the challenge, so there are 46 seconds slapstick starting now.
One of the masters of slapstick comedy was, of course, Charlie Chaplin, the great comedian who dominated the cinema, both politically as a director and also comme acteur throughout almost the entire length of his long and distinguished career.
Kenneth Williams, Charlie.
He didn't dominate the theatre at all. It's all a load of rubbish. He might have had an influence in the cinema, but he certainly had no influence in the theatre whatsoever.
Cinemas were known as theatres in those days.
Rubbish.
They were.
Of course, they were picture house, people said. I'm off to the picture house, or the flicks, or the movies. You don't say.
All right, I lied. Stop.
You must realise, Tim, you mustn't set him off.
I hate slapstick. I hate talking about slapstick.
I know, you've made your point, and now Ken is going to talk on the subject with 31
Good
seconds,
luck.
Starting now.
In a custard pie scene which I had to play with a young man called Tommy Steele at the Coliseum, I was given a special plastic apron, and the management said, we don't want the clothes ruined every night with all this soap. Because it was the remnants of shaving foam that was shoved on these cardboard things. And, of course, they said that...
I remember once when we were doing the Arthur Haynes show, they decided to finish up the last sketch in the series with a custard pie. We asked the canteen if they'd make a special cake, and this fellow went to a lot of trouble during the day producing this fantastic cake. And at the end, the whole thing was, it was the end of the series, end of the show, Arthur threw it right in my face and everybody laughed. And the poor chap who'd been all day making was so upset he rushed on the set and all television was live. Then said, that was my cake! You were going to eat it! And everybody said they did like the payoff, but where did the fella come from? Anyway, Kenneth, you were speaking as a whistle wench. You've increased your lead, and Barry Crowe begins the next round. Barry, the subject is jargon. Can you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Being in my dotage, as we say, or indeed anecdotage, I must tell you the story of last week when my wife and my good self entered a lawyer's office therein to render our reciprocal wills. Upon perusing the documents in question, I found myself in a forest of verbiage, sesquipedalian to a degree, a language so alien to my very understanding as to an ancient Greek or indeed Latin, paragraph upon the same, clause upon phrase, line after line.
Yes, sir.
A definite repetition there.
No, he never got the word out.
I was going to say lie, line after lie.
You never actually said
it. Then it merged into hesitation. It was a kind of repassation. It was a sort of mixture. Yes.
What was that lovely word you came up with earlier on? I adored that one.
Could
custard. We have it again? What? Forget it. Tim, you have 20 seconds on jargon starting now.
I have an American friend from El Paso in Texas, and he just loves jargon. He goes out every day with his tracksuit and runs around the streets of his state. And he keeps very fit by this method. In fact, in the world of theatre, there are many words which are jargon, which mean nothing to the outsider. Words like curtain or light.
Peter Jones at jargon.
Absolute rubbish.
Yeah, I think the one word that does mean something to the public is curtain. That's the one they see every night in the theatre.
I hadn't finished.
And light. They understand what those words mean. If they don't, they'd all be locked up. Put away.
Had you let me finish, my sentence was, words like curtain or light are very well known to the public, but other words such as...
Strikes. Oh, Tim, you really are getting as bad as the regulars, so there's half a second with you, Peter, on jargon starting now.
Well, almost...
So, Peter Jones was then speaking as the whistle went. He's in third place now behind Tim Rice, who's still behind our leader, who's Kenneth Williams. Barry Cryer's in fourth place, and Kenneth begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject is sorting myself out. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
It's usually easy, but if there has been a previous day and sometimes night of overindulgence, sorting myself out can be very tricky indeed. My legs feel like pea sticks, and I stagger about in an unsteady fashion. And then I have recourse to the paracetamol, and one of those fizzy things, which a chemist told me got you sorted out pretty quick. And then a terne branca, and the explosion that takes place within is une bailimable, to use a French expression. But it does release the wind, and that is... because the pains in the abdomen, the kind of result, are appalling. In the Arab countries, of course, all believe in belching. Now, sort yourself out, they say, and let it all hang out. And don't worry about it being...
Barry Cryer, Chandler.
Repetition of out.
Yes, it's a bit too much out. It's more than twice. And Barry, you've got him with 1.5 seconds on sorting myself out, starting now.
Sorting myself out begins...
So Barry Cryer was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and has moved into third place, but Kenneth's still in the lead and Peter Jones begins the next round. The subject, Peter, is power of the mind. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, at last, an appropriate subject has been given to me to discuss and elaborate on. What a pity I only have a minute in which to unfold my vast knowledge of the recesses of a mind like my own, for instance. Or one mind that comes to mind. You're allowed to repeat that, aren't you?
Yes, but not in the way you did. All that
not the way I did it. Now you're quibbling about the way I did. What do you mean?
Hesitating.
Was I hesitating?
Yes, you had so much to say on the subject, you couldn't get out of your mind.
Well, I could feel everybody was absolutely in the palm of my hand there.
They were sweating on whether you were going to speak any more.
Oh, is that it?
Yes. Kenneth, you have a correct challenge, and the power of the mind is with you, and 40 seconds are left, starting now.
One of the great men, this was Mesmer, you know, and he said, Ricky's name too, mesmerizing. He could look at someone and have such an effect upon their mental processes that they would do anything which he wanted them to perform, so to speak. And I said, well, Fred, it's a funny business. I knew him well.
Tim Rice has challenged.
Deviation. First name was not Fred.
You don't know which...
It was probably after one of these terrible nights that Kenny had. And he was probably going around calling everybody Fred.
Yeah.
Quite understandable. Full up to the gills with Fred.
No, but he
Branger
said he knew him well.
Seltzer and belching away, you
actually,
know.
In order to be perfectly fair, the original man, Mesmer, who gave his name to mesmerize, was Anton Mesmer.
Exactly, that was the point I was about to make.
And Kenneth could not have been alive at that time. So
very
he
true.
Said, hello,
that was
Fred.
Not the point
it must have been one of
make.
His descendants or sons.
He took the words
but
out of my mouth.
As you are a guest, we will give you the benefit of the doubt and say that you have 16 seconds on the power of the mind, starting now.
The power of the mind enables one to be very articulate.
Repetition of artic.
So, I agree, Peter. You have 11 seconds on power of the mind, starting now.
There used to be a system called Pelmanism. They advertised widely in magazines and newspapers, and they pretended, or at least claimed, to be able to improve the power of practically anybody's memory.
Peter Jones, speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward, but he's still in third place. Tim Rice is just ahead, and in front of him is Kenneth Williams, and Tim begins the next round. Tim, the subject is my hobby. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
My hobby is collecting stamps. I just love sticking them in my book. I have thousands and hundreds and millions and quintillions of these little objects, which I carefully hinge onto the pages of my album. In fact, my favourite country for stamps is Argentina, because it was there that I first beheld the chops of one Eva Duarte, later known as Evita Perón, and she was on all these Argentine... Note, I did not say that word ending "-ine before...
But you tripped yourself up in the process of explanation. So Kenneth got in with a challenge, and Kenneth, there are 30 seconds on my hobby starting now.
My hobby? Well, I mean, you see, I'd have to really discuss the plural because I've got so many. I think it's fair.
It was nice to tell it.
Well, I mean, it failed on every count.
They're also involved in their hobbies that they can't actually articulate on the subject. 19 seconds with you, Tim, on my hobby, starting now.
I'd rather talk now about my second favourite hobby, which is collecting butterflies. I have this book, or album, and I...
Peter Jones, a chap.
Repetition of collecting.
Yes.
And I thought we were going for the album, actually. There are 13 seconds on my hobby with you, Peter, starting now.
Well, not being of an acquisitive nature, I'm not terribly interested in collecting things, objects, and having them there to look at and examine and gloat over, but rather I tend towards more active...
Well, I'm afraid that was the last subject... And so their hobbies brought this particular round and this particular show to a close. Let me give you the final score. Our guest, Barry Cryer, coming from previous triumphs, finished in fourth place and gave us tremendous value as usual. He was a little way behind Peter Jones, who was equal in second place with our other guest, Tim Rice. And they were 4 points behind this week's winner, the one and only Kenneth Williams. You've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again at the same time next week when we take the air and we play this delightful game. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.